Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's brand new book called Reignite. But first, here's his message, The Applause of Heaven.
Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy, and we'll begin reading at verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Now the Apostle Paul, the faithful soldier of Christ, is facing the end of his days. He is at the executioner's block, as it were, facing martyrdom and the final pouring out of his life in sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of those final hours, Paul is taking a spiritual inventory. He's reviewing his life and he is rehearsing what's about to take place when he steps into the presence of the Lord. And this faithful old soldier of Christ challenges us even today as we are also in a battle. We also are in a race. We also are to guard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he shows us how he did it and how we can do it. First of all, I want you to see a spiritual examination that is taking place here. Paul is taking this spiritual and personal examination of his own life, and as he recalls the experiences of his life and ministry, he said, I have fought the fight, I have finished the course, and I have kept the faith. He says, I have fought the fight. He pictures himself as a war-torn, war-scarred battle veteran who has fought many years against the enemy. And the enemy is Satan. And his battle was to take territory for the Lord Jesus Christ. He would say in the book of Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in the dark places. Paul recognized, just as we should recognize, that we are in a spiritual battle, that there are very real enemies that we face in the Christian life, and therefore we must be disciplined and devoted fighters. Paul was. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26, therefore I run not with uncertainty, I fight not as one who beats the air, not as a shadow boxer, not as one who's simply rehearsing, but one who's in the ring. He said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I, having preached to others, I should myself become disqualified. Paul lived in fear that he wouldn't be in the battle. He lived with a stark terror that somehow he would be disqualified or default in the battle. And so he threw himself unreservedly into the heat of that battle. And he fought tooth and nail with every ounce of his energy all the days of his life. He battled for the gospel. And he had the scars to prove it. As a matter of fact, he said in Galatians 6:17, I bear on my body the marks, the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ, the stigmata, the scars, the brand marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man who was stoned on several occasions, shipwrecked and left in the deep to die. He was beaten with rods. He was cast into prison. He was ostracized from his own countrymen. And yet through it all, he said, I battled all the way to the end. I have fought the good fight of faith. And today we must wonder, are we in that same battle? And yes, we are. But the question is, are we fighting the good fight? Too many Christians today are more interested in playgrounds than in battlegrounds. They're more interested in milk bottles than mighty battles for the Lord Jesus Christ. And rather than serving the Lord as faithful soldiers of Christ, many Christians are AWOL. Some don't even know there's a battle going on. Some are taking the battle for granted. They serve the Lord, they sacrifice to the Lord if it's convenient, if they're getting something out of it. Commitment to Christ and the church is low on the priority list of most people. If they could find something better to do, something else to do, something more fun to do, they do it. Otherwise, well, I guess I'll go to church. Can't do anything else. And many today are living not as faithful soldiers of Christ, but as mere spectators and watching while others are warring. Never even thinking about accountability, never even thinking about responsibility, never thinking about loyalty. When I look at that generation of WW2 veterans, I see men and women who were loyal and faithful to their country. And I'll have to admit that my generation, our generation, so many of us that were born after the Second World War, we do things if they're convenient. It's sort of like the television generation. We just surf through life, channel surf through life, and we flip from one thing to another. And there's a real problem across America because Christians are not committed to Christ. They're not committed to the service of Christ. They're not committed to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not in the battle. And all around us, the enemy is taking territory day by day. Now, many want to enjoy the spoils of the victory and the spoils of battle, just as in the day of Moses. In Numbers chapter 32 and verse 33, there's a verse of scripture that we quote often. The scripture says, "Be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out." And indeed, we quote that to remember that the consequences of sin are real and secret sin one day will be revealed. We know that's true. Be sure your sin will find you out. But do you know what the sin in particular was about there when Moses said, "Be sure your sin will find you out"? Here's what happened. The children of Israel were about to move into the land of Canaan. They were about to take the promised land. And they were dividing up that promised land, the territories and the families and the legions of people that would move and be a part of the promised land. And so a group came to Moses and said, "Look, we don't want to fight. We don't want to be in this battle, but we do want our territory. We do want our land. So while we won't fight, we do want the spoils of the battle." And that's when Moses said, "All right, you can do that. God has promised you the land, but be sure your sin will find you out." What sin? The sin of watching while others were warring. We must never enjoy the spoils of the victory unless we are willing to pay the price and be in the battle. Paul said, "I have fought the good fight." He saw himself as a spiritual soldier. But not only did he see himself as a soldier, he saw himself as a sprinter. For notice he said in verse 7, "I have finished the race." I have finished the race. Now he is envisioning himself as a spiritual athlete, as a runner. And he said, "I have completed my mission. I have completed the assignment that God has given to me." Paul met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. He was a religious man. He knew his Bible. And yet he didn't know the God of the Bible. He didn't know Christ. In fact, he was persecuting Christ and his church. And yet he met the risen Christ. This proud, egotistical Pharisee was knocked off his steed, knocked to the ground, and was blinded by the brilliant light of Christ. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom you persecute." And Paul met the Lord Jesus, and he was changed. And he then asked another question immediately. He said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Would to God that we would ask those two questions this morning. Who are you, Lord? And once you discover that Jesus Christ is the Lord of life and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, when you say, "Who are you, Lord?" and trust Christ as your Savior, then immediately say, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Because God has a mission, God has a purpose, God has a plan for every believer's life to glorify Him, to spread the gospel, to take the good news to the world. And whether you're a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker, whether you're a school teacher or a preacher, whether you're a teacher or a plumber, whatever you do, your mission in life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is to run with the gospel and to fulfill your mission in life, which is to tell the good news. And God has given us that responsibility, and we must accept that responsibility. Get a game plan. Do it every day. Do you have a mission statement for your Christian life? What is it that God has called you to do? What is it that God has assigned you to do? Are you doing it? Are you completing your assignment? Are you fulfilling your mission in life? Are you finishing the course strong for the Lord Jesus Christ?
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, The Applause of Heaven. What do you do when it feels like the flame of your faith is burning low? How do you renew your strength when you're spiritually exhausted? Find out in Dr. Graham's brand new book, Reignite. Drawn from his personal experience in one of the darkest times in his life, this encouraging book reveals how God can reach into your life and restore the strength and joy you're missing. Reignite is our thanks for your gift today. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, The Applause of Heaven.
Paul said, "I'm a soldier and I fought the good fight." He said, "I'm a sprinter. I have finished the race." But then he said something else. He said, "I'm a steward, for I have kept the faith." He said, "I have kept the faith." And the idea of keeping the faith there is the idea of guarding the gospel. The faith. There's an article there. The faith. He wasn't speaking of his personal faith. He was speaking of the faith once delivered unto the saints. He was speaking of the faith for which we are to earnestly contend for the faith, the body of truth, the gospel of God, the message of the Word of God. And in this generation, as in every generation, it is our assignment to keep the faith, to believe the gospel, and to faithfully proclaim the gospel. There are non-negotiables in the Christian faith, and we must never compromise those non-negotiables. Do you ever realize that we're just one generation removed from apostasy, one generation removed from heresy, one generation removed from total paganism? If we don't pass the gospel, if we don't guard the gospel, if we don't take the message of Jesus Christ and put it out there clear and plain and make sure that people hear it in its most simple and complete form, then we have failed in the assignment that God has given us. And we must never, ever change the message of the Church of Jesus Christ. There are some churches today that think they must change the message in order to attract people. Never, never, never should we change the message of Jesus Christ just to build a crowd. How bizarre it is for some people to think that we can make the church and the gospel somehow attractive to the whole world. Only Jesus can draw men to Himself who are antagonized from God, who are separated from God, who are born in sin and dead in their trespasses and sin. And it is only by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that men's and women's lives are changed. Therefore, we must be true to the gospel message and say with the Apostle Paul, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Paul said, "I'm a soldier battling to the end. fighting the good fight. I am a sprinter running the race, and I am a steward, a guardian of the gospel. That was his spiritual examination. But not only was there a spiritual examination, but there was a sobering realization that Paul gave us here. For in verse 6, if you would look at it with me, he said, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I'm ready." There was the sobering, serious recognition and realization that he was about to die. He was a dead man on furlough. He said, "The time of my departure was at hand." Now, he used a word departure that's a very interesting and a very exciting word from the Greek New Testament. You know, in the language of the Greek New Testament, the language in which God gave us the scriptures, the Greek language, there are many beautiful word pictures and descriptions of so many of the words of the Bible. And the word that Paul uses here, departure, is one of those words. For example, this word departure was a word that prisoners used when they were released from prison, when they were set free out of jail. They departed that place. They departed that prison. And Paul said, "My departure is at hand." For he was about to be set free from the prison of this world. He was about to be set free from the prison of an earthly body, in which the bondage of sin indwells even after we become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was about to be set free, and he looked forward to being in the presence of the Lord unlimited in his service and fellowship and discipleship. He said, "I am about to depart." It's a release from bondage. But that word was also used by farmers when they would unloose or unyoke the oxen. At the end of a long day, when those animals had worked, and the farmer would take the yoke off and the animal would rest, that was a departure. So it is through life when we work and serve like the Apostle Paul had worked and served. When he worked hard for the Lord Jesus Christ, he was looking forward to laying down that burden and laying down a life that had been spent in sacrifice and service for God. Now, don't get the idea that when we get to heaven, we're just going to check out a long woolly suit of underwear and a harp and a crown and sit on a cloud and pluck eternity away. The Bible says when we get to heaven, his servants will serve him day and night. But we will serve him with unlimited possibilities. We will serve him without growing weary or tired. In this life, because of physical restraints, because of the pressures of time, we feel the crunch and we feel the tiredness and the harriedness. And even in the work of Jesus Christ, there are times that we grow weary. But Paul, who was now worn out and weary, he said, "I'm going to be loosed and at rest with the Lord." But this word departure also was a soldier's word. When a soldier would go off to battle and strike his tent, and there battle and fight. And then after the battle was won and the victory was secured, he would pick up his tent and unloose the cords and pull up the stakes and march home in victory. And that's the very picture that Paul imagined here by the Holy Spirit when he said, "The time of my departure at his hand." He said, "I'm going home a conqueror. I'm going home a victor in the Lord Jesus Christ." And one of these days, as believers and followers of Christ, we're going to pull up stakes and pull up cords, and we're going to march home in victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. But not only was it a farmer's word and a soldier's word, but it was a sailor's word. Departure. When they would unleash the ship, unmoor the ship, and pull up anchor and set sail for distant horizons. It was a departure. One of these days, we're going to pull up anchor. Just like the Apostle Paul, we're going to sail into glory. And there discover the glories of the great beyond and the life that we know forever in Jesus Christ. We will set sail forever with him. But then this word was also a philosopher's word. Have you ever had a problem that you just couldn't solve? I mean, you thought about it over and over. You turned it every way. You looked at it through at every angle, and you couldn't quite decipher the problem. Maybe it was a problem in your life. Maybe it was a personal battle in your own life, a perplexity in your own life. You didn't understand why this happened, and you turned it over and over, and you thought about it, and you thought about it. Maybe you were you remember the days when you were a student, when you had a problem, an algebra, a geometric problem, and you couldn't quite figure it out, and then suddenly, boom, eureka, just like that, you understood. That's what the philosophers call the eureka experience. And this word departure was used by the philosophers to mean the untying of a knot. Just like if you've got a knot in the brain and you can't figure something out, and then when that knot is loosed, then it all makes sense. There's so many things in this life that don't make sense. Questions and problems and disease and tragedies and heartache and heartbreak. And we wonder and we try to solve these problems. And we have to admit we don't know about many of the circumstances of life. But then when we make our departure, then we shall know even as we are known. And it will all make sense. And after we stand in the presence of Christ and worship Him for about 10 billion years, we'll be saying, oh, yes, I understand it now. Oh, yes, I know now. It is a departure to be in the presence of the Lord. When we leave the question marks behind and live in an eternal exclamation of glory in the presence of Jesus. That is why Paul realized and said, I am ready to go. I'm ready. The time of my departure is at hand. Are you ready? I'm not asking you as an unbeliever if you're ready. I'm asking believers this morning, are you ready? Can you say, I have fought the good fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished the course, and I am ready? Are you making your life count for Christ? Because the time of your departure is at hand. You ought to be able to say with the Apostle Paul, for to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And to so live that you'll have no reserve and no regrets about the past, and live every day for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Well, there's one final thing I want to mention quickly, and that is a sure expectation. For Paul said in verse 8, finally there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. There's a righteous crown. That is the crown of righteousness that will be given to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to all who love his appearing, who look forward to and long for the appearing of Christ. And there's a redeemed company, all of the redeemed, all who have loved his appearing. And then there's the reigning Christ who shall appear to us that day when our faith is turned aside and our hope is turned to reality. Paul said, I have a sure hope. I have a sure expectation that I'm going to see Jesus Christ. That's why verse 22, he concludes this final work of his hand by saying, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, The Applause of Heaven. Whatever you're facing today, how would you like to experience God's presence, his peace, and the hope of his promise in a new and refreshing way? You can, and we want to show you how by sending you Dr. Graham's brand new book, Reignite. Discover how God can renew your strength, lift your spirit, and fan your faith into a fire that lights up the world. Reignite is our way to thank you for your financial support to help proclaim the hope of Christ to more people through PowerPoint. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. Call 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website, again, is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
In his final hours, Paul is taking a spiritual inventory of his life in Christ. And he's both reviewing his life and rehearsing what's going to happen when he leaves this world and steps into the presence of the Lord. And the Apostle Paul therefore says, I have fought the good fight. He knew he was in a spiritual battle and saw himself as a war-scarred veteran who had fought many years against Satan and his forces. So let me ask you, are you in that same spiritual battle? Are you fighting the good fight of faith? You see, many Christians are AWOL on the spiritual battlefield, and it's simply not good enough to be a spectator while others serve as faithful soldiers of Christ. God has a purpose for your life and a role for you to play, a responsibility for you to keep. So remember how Paul responded when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. Paul first said, having met the risen Christ, Lord, who are you? But then, having responded to the resurrected Christ, he then asked another question, Lord, what will you have me to do? Now that is precisely the reaction that Jesus is looking for from each one of us. Once we've received him as Savior, we need to ask, Lord, what would you have me to do? What has God assigned you to do? What is God calling you to do? And are you doing it? Your faithfulness matters a great deal because, like Paul, you will face the Lord and give an account of your spiritual life and walk in service. In his final hours, Paul had the wonderful confidence and assurance that came from having fulfilled his role as a faithful soldier. And he was going home a victor in Christ Jesus. And you can have that same confidence. Live your life today in Jesus. Get in the battle. Fight for the kingdom of God and bring others to Jesus. Pray, and pray some more, for we win the battle on our knees. And on that day when you stand in his presence, you will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. And you'll be able to take the applause of heaven and present that as a gift of love to the Lord Jesus Christ.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful new book, Reignite, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how to live today for God's promised world tomorrow. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.